Great, Evgenia Canuz. I'm a senior economist with the World Economic Forum. And in case you're wondering what the link is between trade facilitation indicators and the World Economic Forum, we have launched, actually last year in 2008, a report which is called the Global Enabling Trade Report, which assesses the ease of getting goods across countries, and this also includes a number of trade facilitation indicators. And unlike many other areas of international trade that we discussed today, the trade facilitation agenda is relatively new in terms of research, and it's also only recently been included, or relatively recently been included into the trade negotiations agenda. Nevertheless, we have seen over the past decade, and especially over the past few years, a lot of research being undertaken on the topic, and also a lot of data sources and databases being created and compiled. And I think it is safe to say that the World Bank has been at the forefront of those efforts. So that's why we are pleased to have here today Mr. Alberto Portugal from the World Bank to present the ongoing work in this area. Alberto is economist with the Development Economics Research Group at the World Bank and has been closely involved in the research over the past few years on the trade facilitation agenda and has co-authored a number of papers on the topic. Alberto, the floor is yours.
Yeah, thank you for your patience. I mean, we went through some technical problems, and I'm going to use like a presentation that was rather old, but it's still like it's going to keep like the main aspects of the last one that I wanted to show. So let me start by defining what trade facilitation is, and for that I went I googled some websites of international organizations, and I found, for instance, in the OECD website, a definition that says that trade facilitation is the simplification and standardization of procedures that are associated and associated info flows required to trade goods internationally. And when I went through the WTO website, they basically have a wider definition, and they say that trade facilitation encompasses a wide range of activities aiming at removing obstacles to the movement of goods across borders, such as the simplification of customs procedures. So there is no standard definition, and perhaps like the broadest possible definition we could find is that trade facilitation is any policy that aims at reducing trade costs. So it involves several dimensions. And perhaps when looking at what are the dimensions of trade policies, it could be useful to think about hard infrastructure versus soft infrastructure, the former being whatever physical infrastructure is there, road, rails, ports, airports, and also like a multimodal networks that combines all these types of infrastructures. On the soft side is more, if you want, like think about it, about institutions and whatever is there, and we can think about the customs environment. We could think about like transparency and the corruption that could be found like at several stages, like in the trading procedure, and also like the regulatory environment. I mean the business environment that holds in a country. So when we think about data, we could also think about like survey data. That is like you go and ask exporters or importers about the quality of ports in a country. You could ask them about like the irregular payments, and that's something that is not observed by their own nature. You could ask them about the number of documents that are required to export and import. And we could also think about the data that is somehow like more factual, and that's, for instance, like the total number of kilometers of paved roads in a country, or the same for railways and so on. So another dimension also of this data is data can be defined at the country level, meaning that they are gonna summarize like one aspect of trade facilitation for a country, and you will find like the same figure, the same dimension for other countries, and that makes like evidently, like that makes data comparable. But you could also find like data that is more disaggregated, like go within a country for instance, goes into congestion of given ports, roads, and so on. So an example of this more disaggregated data is portrayed here. So you have those are basically like main roads linking main cities in Western Africa, and you can have like the number of checkpoints, and the color will tell you who's the institution like that is like behind these checkpoints. And basically someone did follow like some transport vehicles that were like linking these roads, and they were actually collecting information on the number of on the number of checkpoints, evidently on the price, because sometimes in order to get through you have to pay. I mean it's the way to put like some grease through the machine, and also like the delay that is caused by this checkpoint. So perhaps forget Somalian piracy. That's something more institutionalized. I mean it's a more institutionalized way of piracy at some extent. And the problem with this proliferation of evidently checkpoints is that there are like political economy groups that are taking rents out of this, and they're like increasing the trade costs. And I'm just going to present like three databases that were collected at the World Bank. The first one is the doing business data for trade, which is called like trading across the borders. Doing business, they have like 10 types of indicators like on 10 dimensions of the business environment, and one of them is trade. The second one is a logistic performance index. And the third one is where there are some indicators that were collected from raw sources, and basically it's an example of collection of indicators of several sources, and it was aiming, I mean the final product was rather a research paper. So all those three estimators, they are like at the country level, so they provide a rather good coverage, as we'll see in a moment. And evidently there are like other data sets that at the country level that have like very interesting trade facilitation related variables, such as the World Development Indicators. They have like data on the percentage of paved roads over the total, the kilometers of railroads, number of telephone lines. The World Economic Forum also has an executive opinion survey data, which basically goes and asks businessmen, multinationals, and who are perhaps like in certain situations the best of service of the business environment in a country, and they ask their opinion on several issues, and some of them are related to trade facilitation. There's also like the OECD that is collecting some data on trade facilitation. So for this presentation, as I told, I will just present briefly these three indicators, starting by the doing business. Basically, they collect data on the number of documents that are required to export and to import, on the cost of these export and import procedures, and on the time to export and import. And they collect this data on a case of a standard container that has like a certain dimension, 20 foot container that is fully loaded, that contains like a standard product, which could be, I mean, that is no hazardous, that doesn't require any refrigeration, there's no special standard. We could think, for instance, about a certain type of textile. And basically they have like this container that is transported from the main city in a country to the closest border, and they collect data on the number of documents, the cost, and the time. So perhaps among the limitations is that which is interesting, is that they have like this container, which is like universally used and a single type of product. But trade costs, transport costs will vary like across, not only across countries, but also vary across products. And perhaps another limitation is that this data is collected on transporting the container from the main city to the closest port, and perhaps like for bigger countries like in Brazil or in India or China, there are like some other information that is somehow being disregarded and that should be considered. So, but despite these limitations, I think these figures, they provide a very informative and very useful information on the factors underlying these trading costs. And moreover, they use like a standard container, and a container is somehow universally used today. It's used in basically all countries in the world. And that's like to contrast you with that, I mean, that's containerization in Newark, and that is more or less the same container in Guinea. So, those are some figures that were like some graphs using this doing business. On the left, you have like the average number of documents on red to import and on blue to export. And as expected, always you required more documents to import than to export. And basically, you have like this average per region of developing countries. And the, on the extreme right, you have like the OECD benchmark, which evidently has lower documents. And on the graph, on the map of the right, you have a characterization of countries according to their distribution in the cost of export procedures. For countries painted in black, you don't have like data. But for other countries, the darker the color, the higher the cost. And here you can see like the contrast between landlocked countries and coastal countries, because landlocked countries they rely on their transit neighbors infrastructure, on their transit neighbors procedures, and somehow it increases the cost. The second index is this logistic performance index, and basically they collect data on seven logistic dimensions: the efficiency of customs, the quality of transport and IT, the affordability of arranging international shipments, competence of the local industry, logistics industry, and, well, the ability to track and trace the shipments, the cost of the logistics, and the timeliness. So they aggregate these seven indicators per country, and according to a statistic technique called a principal components analysis, and they basically construct this single indicator that is ranged between 1 and 5, and the higher the value, the best a country scores. And that's to give you an idea of what are the values like in different countries in the world. And here, well, in green, the darker the color, the higher the value, and the best ranked a country is. So the strong points of this LPI is that basically they're getting the opinion of professionals from working in international logistics companies, and they're working with different countries, and at some extent they take into their consideration the relative value of the logistics in several countries. Moreover, this survey is carried out through the web, which is a great way of reducing costs, because normally, I mean, collecting data is extremely costly, and that's also this factor should also be taken into analysis when thinking about like a database. So perhaps a limitation is that it's only opinion data, meaning they're asked these seven questions on a 1-5 scale, and perhaps there's some harder dimension that is somehow missing. This database was basically, as I said before, is a database constructed by John Wilson at the bank and his co-authors at the time, and they basically it's more an example of how to use raw indicators from different sources, from the World Economic Forum, from the World Development Indicators, from International Transparency, and they group them along some dimensions in order to estimate the impact of these factors on trade. So they basically group it like along four dimensions: port efficiency, like this hard infrastructure, the customs environment, the regulatory environment, and the IT infrastructure sector. So the strong points is of this data exercise is that it considers like different sources. They are also considering like survey data and also some more factual or harder data. It also summarizes several indicators that are along well-defined dimensions. Well, perhaps like among the limitations that this data was collected like some years ago, and perhaps right now they're all indicators, but we are in the process of updating them. Perhaps another limitation is that they are like just simple average of single indicators, so you're giving the same weight to different factors. But currently, I mean, we're exploring other methods to aggregate them, factor analysis, principal components, and so on. So, and with this kind of data, I mean, these are like the some policy and research questions that could be answered. I mean, that are. So first of all, what's going to be the impact of different trade facilitation measures on trade costs and evidently on trade? So how this impact is going to change across countries or regions, and how they will score against other type of barriers to trade like tariffs. So it's also important to think about the gains in terms of trade or welfare from a decline in administrative costs, if you want, of a simplification of procedures and reform, compared to investment in physical infrastructure. And it's also like important to think about like policies, which one are gonna like get the higher returns, how it's gonna be the sequencing, and so on. So and it will evidently give a very useful and practical guide for technical assistance for donors on the measures to prioritize and also like on the regions or countries where these measures should be used. So those are just like some examples of findings using this, well, the data I briefly present from some recent research. And for instance, like there's a paper by Jankov and others at the bank that they found using and doing business data that reducing a day of delay in shipping increases trade by 1%, and that's equivalent to reducing the distance between two partners by 70 kilometers. In a paper with John Wilson, I mean, that was focusing on trade costs in Africa, we found that if Ethiopia were to improve logistics half the way to the Mauritius level, which was the top performer like in sub-Saharan Africa, Ethiopian exports would grow as if Ethiopian exporters would have a 7.6% cut in tariffs. So that's also like an interesting figure. Bernard Hoekman at the bank and Alessandro Nicita now at UNCTAD, they have a paper where they found that trade facilitation is likely to increase the trade impacts of lowering other border barriers by a factor of two or more. That's the a complementarity element. We're also working currently on a paper on FDI. We found that, well, it's still in progress, but we find that controlling for other determinants of FDI, a reduction of trade cost is going to be associated with an increase in OECD FDI, flows and also stocks to developing countries. So that's just another example of research findings. It's selected and it's just like some findings using other databases. So, for instance, there's like an interesting paper like in 2004 by Clark and co-authors that found that if ports efficiency was improved in Latin America, so you had like a distribution of ports, and if efficiency as measured by like jumping up the scale along the distribution would increase, that would reduce shipping costs to the U.S. by 12%. In the same paper, they found that trading costs they have data on Latin America, that trade costs are very high and even much more higher than tariffs. So another paper on port congestion and using detailed data on port capacity in East Asia, they found that a 10% increase in port capacity lowers costs by 9%. Hamels and other and other co-authors, they study the market power in the shipping industry, and they, as Aditya said this morning, there are like basically like a transport industry was taken a bit away from negotiations, and there's where perhaps where there are like some rents and perhaps some reform, and actually they find that eliminating market power at some extent would increase trade by 5 or 15% because these shipping companies are using their market powers and charging a higher cost to exporters. Another paper using detailed data on road infrastructure by John Wilson and Ben Shepherd in Eastern Europe, they find that if using some measure, roads would be improved in Eastern Europe and Central Asia, they would expand trade by 50%. So finally, perhaps just like final remarks. When we think about a dream database, I mean, what would be the dream database? Well, perhaps, well, evidently the answer will depend on the research or policy question that is being answered, and the level of analysis, if it's going to be like how detailed data should be. For instance, economists right now, I mean, trade economists right now, they're studying a lot. It's very fashionable on research in trade economics to use firm-level data, and that's also like a very interesting question. I mean, if it would be like some data, what would be the impact of trade facilitation at the firm level? And if so, which are the sectors or type of firms, small, medium, privately owned and so on, that would benefit more. Evidently, to build that, I mean, collecting databases is an expensive exercise, and it's also like costs that they enter into the equation, and they are somehow like weighted against benefits. Perhaps at the country level, most analysis has focused in cross section, meaning just a year observation, because like there are databases that are only collected for a single year, and the use of time series data is somehow unexplored, like in the research. So it's also like another way. Moreover, like research focused intensively on the benefits of improved trade facilitation, but since there is like some data not available about the cost, so perhaps, I mean, that's also another area of improvement. And perhaps, I mean, could be quite interesting to collect data on how expensive are going to be improved customs, improved roads, investment in physical infrastructure. And also, like, as was seen in this graph of checkpoints in Africa, there are, like, several checkpoints, and there are, like, people making money, and there are like some groups that are organized, and that they're pushing for these checkpoints, and they're not being removed at the expense of traders, consumers, producers, and so on. So it could be quite important to think about the political cost of reform, because if they are there, it's for any reason. So what would be the political cost of reform aiming at reducing all these administrative costs, because there are like rent seeking involved. So I think I'm gonna stop there, and I'm open to any question or remark you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Alberto, for this very interesting presentation outlining what the work of the World Bank mainly in the area of trade facilitation indicators. I understand that we have a discussant also for this session. It's Mr. Mohanty from the Indian delegation, but we're not sure if he's in the room. Yes, Mr. Mohanty, the floor is yours, please.
Thank you very much. It is a very interesting presentation. It tells us what is the benefit of trade facilitation. In fact, yes, it says, you know, a lot of, I don't want to read what, yeah, but it is a good analysis that you reduce a day of delay in shipping, it increases trade by 1%. In fact, there are various analyses saying that implementation of trade facilitation measures will reduce the transaction cost of imports and exports. It will facilitate the international trade. It will promote, it will achieve predictability, and also it will help improve the climate of for investment. In fact, there are various studies. They say that, you know, the transaction costs, it accounts about 10 to 12% of this procedural bottlenecks. It accounts for 10 to 12% of the transaction value of trade. So if you reduce, say, up to 5%, if you reduce, then the benefit can be up to 150 billion. So everybody, you know, there is no doubt that it is a win-win situation for everybody. But only thing that, because I am not sure how this, because I have no question in this thing, how it is quantified. My suggestion would be that, there are number of proposals under discussion in the Trade Facilitation Committee in three areas, as you know, that is in the area of improving and clarifying the GATT Articles 5, 10 and 8. Number of proposals have been given. Then you have number of proposals in the area of technical assistance and capacity building. Then you have proposals on customs cooperation. So what I propose that for further studies, why can't we quantify our suggestions, that is, we give our suggestions with reference to the proposals. Suppose what I have in mind that is coming out of this paper, suppose in the area of, the proposals on Article 10, that we have proposals on advance ruling, proposals on publication of trade rules, then we have proposal on appeal procedures, the proposal that, you know, there should be interval between the publication of rule and the entry into force. Then you have number of proposals on Article 8, that is, you know, you have proposals on simplification of documentations. Then you have pre-arrival processing, post-clearance audit, publication of average clearance times. Then you have proposals on this risk assessment, international standards. So what I propose that if we can have some studies with reference to these proposals, how it will facilitate the trade. In fact, I don't want to take much time, I would request the questions from the floor as to how we can benefit from this analysis of these proposals and how, in quantitative terms, it will benefit the trade. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mahdi. And I would like to welcome to other questions from the floor, other questions and comments, please. No further questions right now? Yes, please, the gentleman in the back.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the presentation, Mr. Portugal. I'm not an expert in the case of trade facilitation statistics, but reading some documents which are mentioned the basis of or taking into account the different statistics from the World Bank, World Economic Forum, etc., sometimes I have some doubts about the sources of information. Because it's completely different if your source of information is a big firm, or if you want a multinational, completely different if the source of information or the response to the questions is in a small and medium enterprises. Because normally the tendency when we read that kind of statistics in the case of the World Bank is based on a multinational enterprise. And in that case the profile of enterprise is completely different in the case, or the needs of enterprise is completely different if you take into account the small and medium enterprises. The second comment is about traditionally, but I'm not sure it's normal, my mention, but if the comparison is between the same container that you mentioned between a developed country and in developing country. But which is the situation of the different stages of you want the different levels of developing countries among them? Because if you put normally the contrast between a developed country with a good infrastructure, statistics, logistics, roads, etc., obviously the contrast with some developing country which doesn't have that kind of facilities, obviously the contrast is huge, but the difference is not only in the case of trade facilitation, also is in production. The problems of access to credit, for instance, is completely different in the case of developing country, in the different kind of developing country, and also the contrast is huge in the case of developing countries. Then my doubt sometimes with that kind of a statistic, mainly in the case of trade facilitation, is the source of information. It's too global, it's too general, and sometimes is based on the needs of some kind or profile of multinational or big enterprises, but not contemplate the needs or the, if you want, the expectations of the enterprises in the developing countries. Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe let's take one further question, if there is one, before I pass to Alberto to answer. Yes, of course.
Thank you. A question, when preparing this panel, I was told that trade facilitation was perhaps one of the most difficult panel to organize because the expectation from on data from economists might be very different from the expectation from negotiators, and that there was a possibility of mismatch between what economists studying the impact of trade facilitation on trade and development in general, and what negotiators were expecting from us statisticians. So, I mean, could you provide more information on this possible divergence of interest between negotiator and economist?
Alberto, the floor is yours.
Yeah, thank you. So thank you for your comments and your questions. Answering to a delegate of India, well, there are several ways of quantifying the impact of these procedural bottlenecks. Well, in research and at the country level, we use what is called gravity models, where you are explaining bilateral flows between two countries, controlling for a variety of factors. And you also plug in this equation on the right hand side. You plug also like these proxies of trade costs, and basically you would observe the elasticity. I mean, the sample is very big, and you would find an elasticity of the cost. For sure, this well, in the case of doing business data, and it's also like in a paper we were working on, we say that it's a proxy of trade costs. Because trade costs vary incredibly. I mean, when you look at very disaggregated data, I mean, a container of say textiles clothing is going to, I mean, the ad valorem equivalent, I mean, in terms of as a percentage of price is going to be different if you transport say minerals. So but on the other hand, we said like in the case of this I mean, we have to be conscious of limitations, and I mean, there are several dimensions linked to trade facilitation, and it's not very, very easy to always collect good information. I mean, it's also, we have to keep in mind that there are like those limitations. And you also mentioned well, on the case of this container, I mean, standard container, we somehow define it as a lower bound estimate of the price of a container, because moreover this container is the simplest possible container you may have. There are like other goods that require refrigeration, that require like perhaps like other treatments that may increase the cost. So you also mentioned the publication and audit, and I think that's these kind of measures are in the very right and the very good direction, because transparency is needed, and I wouldn't be surprised that in some developing countries there's like some reticence of customs or like government employees, public officials against this, because there will be like some rent that could be, that will be diluted. Concerning like the other question of the other person, you mentioned that there is like firms, by their size they are differently affected, and they certainly, there is research proving that in average there are only like bigger firms that are exporting, and also smaller firms that tend rather to produce for the domestic level. There's a lot of research focusing on what makes like a successful entrepreneur, and also like on the fact that when a firm starts exporting to a certain country, what would make expand to other products and also to other destinations. To my understanding, there is like an enterprise survey at the World Bank. They basically like collected data. It's also survey data. It's called the enterprise survey, and they collected data on small and also like big enterprises, and they also had other characteristics, as if it was formerly owned or was just locally owned, and so on. So perhaps this kind of data is also going to be like very very informative in the future about some other dimensions, and also could help not only like multinational companies, but also like a small companies that have a potential. You also mentioned about the some other factors like credit that are very, that is more restrained in developing countries than in developed countries. And I would also add another dimension, is that because of these excessive regulations, like imported inputs that are used like in the production of goods will also tend to be higher. So that's also like another channel through which local companies are going to be damaged. And certainly for a more precise evaluation, say of corridors in sub-Saharan Africa, like there are like several landlocked countries, and there are like these initiatives like tending to finance like corridors, and perhaps more microanalysis, like studying the real bottlenecks. For instance, I saw once a presentation. Someone working with a project, and they had like this big map, and basically this person went with a car and a GSP, and they took information about like the flows, and they went through a bridge, and for instance they realized that there were like a 2-3 way road. They arrived to the bridge, and the bridge has only a single one way road, and the other way was not working, so they had to, that was a bottleneck, and so on and so forth. And I think that more detail and micro data is necessary. So the other question, I'm not sure if I fully understood. It's about how negotiators perceive. Could you please repeat me the last question?
I was told that, mm-hmm. when organizing this panel, that there were two type of interests that may not be always converging.
Okay.
One is the business community, and the other one are the negotiators in trade facilitation, and that the expectation for information might not be the same. I don't know if you can illustrate that, because for me it's still a question.
I think it will depend a bit on the business companies. What they will look for is like to get their exports at their like lowest possible price, and also like get their imported inputs at the lowest possible prices. Well, perhaps the negotiators will have like another mindset. Perhaps it will be like also like what the governments and what are the lobbies that are somehow like influencing some lines, some decision lines or some dimensions on negotiations. And there's also like the finance problem, because like facilitation measures, they cost money, and it's also like, well, certainly investing in hard infrastructure is going to be like compared to reforming accounts, perhaps is going to be like more substantial, more expensive. But I think perhaps like it's also the sequence should be taken into account more seriously, because even if you have like a great road, you have like a very nice port and fully automatized, if there is like some inefficiencies at the level of customs clearance and some perhaps some rents there, so it wouldn't be like the most optimal network.
Thank you. Thank you, Alberto. Any further questions at this stage? Last call. Yes, please.
I'm Jussi Alakin here from Eurostat. I was just wondering, as there was just, you showed a very recent study from 2009 concerning this physical infrastructure, which you just mentioned that is very expensive, claiming that 10% expansion of in East of capacity in East Asian ports would really reduce trade costs by 9% or something like that, if I remember correctly. Have these people been able to, let's say this year, prove this claim to be true? Because now that the exports from East Asia have probably fallen more than 10%, then you would expect that the trade costs have then fallen like by 10% or so as well. So has this hypothesis been now verified during the last half year?
Thank you. Sorry. So basically, well, this kind of findings are come from a gravity type of model, and basically it's like, again, you're controlling, you're explaining the trade among the bilateral trade among different partners in the world, and you're controlling for several factors. And improved roads in that context, I mean, it's especially for Central Asia, because they are like several landlocked countries that are relying on their neighbors' infrastructure. And I think, if I remember well, this paper, they show that perhaps like improving roads in Bulgaria wouldn't have cost a lot and would have helped at a better transit for some of these countries. And I'm not sure that such an investment was made, and perhaps, I mean, if it could also be like a very interesting case where you could evaluate ex post. I mean, if the expansion in trade would have been would have been that. Moreover, like this paper was done. It was also like after that it was like the financial crisis and the recession, and trade has fallen all over the world, and it's also like some other factors that are not, I mean, some factors that were not considered in gravity, in general, in gravity types of models. So.
If I may, I was referring to the Abraham Wilson study about the port congestion in East Asia, because now that their exports have fallen like probably more than 10%, now the trade cost should have gone down, but have they?
No, but now there is, I mean, Asia has, I mean, Japan has suffered. I mean, there's like a one-third of their, I mean, a reduction of their exports because of another factor. But perhaps, I mean, when recovery will come, I mean, and if there is like some investment in port improvement, in capacity improvement, perhaps it could be observed. But it's another factor that should be controlled for.
Thank you, but it's certainly an interesting point, if I may, because the cost of transport has also gone down over the past few months, as far as I know. So maybe another area of study to be added. Any further questions? If there are no questions at this stage, then I would move on to conclude. We've seen, we've learned from Alberto's presentation that there's no standard definition of trade facilitation, and that many areas are affected, such as infrastructure, customs administration, for example, but also the business environment and IT infrastructure. We have also seen that progress on the trade facilitation front, and I think we agree on this, could significantly contribute to reduce the transaction cost of trade and could significantly lead to an expansion of global trade, especially for developing countries, so that further research in this area and further action in this area is certainly worthwhile. Currently, many data sources are available, as we have seen. There appears to be a mismatch, as Mr. Mohanty has pointed out, between the data necessary for negotiators and the data for the purpose of research and for the purpose of policymaking. Sometimes also there's a lack of data at the very detailed level, at the very micro level, referring to for example the customs clearance times and the like, and the real bottlenecks and the barriers along the road. Moving forward, I think that 2 points are necessary in order to improve the situation. There's clearly a need for data assessing the situation along the three areas of trade facilitation negotiations that are currently part of the agenda, which is procedures, capacity building in the area of trade facilitation, also customs cooperation. And also data should be more strongly geared towards the needs of small and medium enterprises, as currently it mainly reflects the views of large and multinational economies, and also to the issues that developing countries face. With this, I think we may have some time for a little coffee break or not. I thank you very much, and I would like you to join me in thanking Alberto for his excellent presentation. Thank you.